Psst, hey, psst, it's Lost and Rewound on Radio Free Brooklyn. It's time to get embarrassed with us.
Funk Soul Brothers coming at you live and direct, and by live and direct I mean in a Bushwick basement, ready to jumpstart your Thursday afternoon.
That's right, and I'm not talking about being trapped in a basement for 20 years being barked at by your dad. We're not talking about the terror, we're talking about beautiful music and
yes.
great sounds of the past.
Yes, this is what we do here on Lost and Rewound every week. Each and every week, we uncover all the old audio artifacts of the yesteryears.
This is true. Again, we are digging deep. We are asking you out there as well for people to go and find this audio. This is we're talking about old garage bands or old recordings that you took in the back room of President Kennedy's, you know, Oval Office.
Yeah.
We want to know.
Yes, we do.
So you can send that, if you have any, as well, to lostandrewound@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually become a guest on the show.
We would love for you to be a guest on our show. And with the power of real American pesos, we could stay afloat with the financial ease required in community arts.
Yes, this is free-form radio, but it's also free of advertisements.
Advertisements.
There's none of them.
No ads. No.
I'm not going to tell you of all the great things that you can use, you know, a piece of bacon for. You can bribe somebody.
Okay.
They can eat it.
I was going to say, what other options were there?
You know, you could wipe it on your face, give yourself a pimple, get out of, you know, a bad date.
Very valid point.
I'm so glad I put this piece of bacon in my pocket.
So, to reiterate,
save me again.
RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/pledge to donate to the station as a whole, and that will very much help the station as a whole, any amount at all, $1, $2, $3, $10, or you also have the option to sponsor our show directly at RadioFreeBrooklyn.com/LAR.
I don't know why every time you talk about that, you sound like you're in that song. One punch, two punch, three. You know what I'm talking about?
You do the same thing, dude. Don't even lie.
Hey-o. Give us money and the radio show continue. Hey.
You always say L-A-R.
I do that for everything I say.
So wait. The people know who we are, but I don't think we actually introduced who we are. If in case you don't know, my name is Alon.
My name is Jimmy. I'm this one.
And I'm that one.
Yeah.
And here's our show about to begin right now.
Today in the studio is Boston, born and raised.
I like that.
Siobhan Fogarty, songstress, new to Brooklyn, songwriter, guitarist,
beautiful voice. Yes. A voice like a silk.
Thank you so
Welcome.
Much.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Well,
thanks
lost
for having
around.
Me.
Yeah,
I'm
of course.
Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. You know, it seems like this is becoming a trend. We're getting a whole lot of musicians with guitars in hands. Last week we had Ryan Parker. You know, several months ago we had Eric and Axel. It's just nice to be able to have folks coming in here with their music.
You try to do talk radio, and the musicians just creep on in.
Hey, look. You know.
We always find our way in.
When did you pick up a guitar for the first time?
I started playing guitar, I guess, probably in the beginning of high school, but I was not very good at it. I looked up, you know, the easiest songs I could and kind of tried to figure it out. And I put it down for a while. I always did musical theater. So I picked it back up again a couple years later, and I'm just kind of stuck with it since.
Now that you're in New York, what's it been like playing the open mic scene? And have you been met with a lot more positive reinforcement than you were honestly expecting?
Oh, my gosh. I love the open mic scene in Brooklyn, especially. Such talented people. You know, you come out and you feel like you have good songs, and then the person before you, you're like, oh, my God, this person's incredible. Everybody's great, and they're so supportive and fun. You know, we have a good time, and I've met, you know, my circle now is all from the open mics, and it's awesome. So awesome.
Yeah, very, very, very community-based in Brooklyn, which is, I think that's the best thing, is if everybody works together. That whole stepping over people. That, to me, I know that's like the New York way. It always has been, you know. But I think that especially in a creative endeavor like music, it works out a lot more.
Yeah, we have fun, too. We have a good time.
Yeah, very true.
When you were doing musical theater as a child, you know, clearly there's always going to be some camaraderie, if you will, no matter what the case is in the creative arts. And so have you found, as an adult, the way of being involved in open mic is a lot more your speed than, say, that of the musical theater variety when you were younger?
Yeah, I mean, I get to sleep in. I think, I don't want to say all musicians are lazy, but I mean, musical theater auditions, it's like you're waking up like 7 a.m., standing outside in the cold, 300 other people. Oh, yeah, it's
crazy.
Yeah,
the amount of dedication.
If you're not equity, you don't get an appointment, you got to wait and hope you get seen. It's like, it's crazy, man.
And then at that point, they're still looking for the it factor.
Yeah.
You have to have everything. You have to be able to do it all still have it.
Yeah, it's not even just that, too. Sometimes it's just they're looking for something very specific that day, and you might not be, you know, blonde and tall,
exactly.
Or you may not be, it's crazy. So I like to, you know, sleep until like 1 p.m., get up, grab my guitar, have a couple beers, perform with a bunch of people, and then have, you know, real talks about making music and doing things regardless of whether you fit into a certain mold or you're going to be in a certain show or whatever. No?
Yeah, he texted me this morning at 9 a.m. and he's like, what's Siobhan? And I was just like, yeah, she's not awake right now.
Yeah.
She's definitely not awake right now, dude. Like, trust me.
Well, you've been, that's because, you've been doing bartending to make ends meet?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, facts.
That's valid. That's the struggling artist mentality.
Absolutely.
You work in the service industry. I get that. And the bar that you work at has that establishment been open to you sort of doubling up as a musician when like they do have open mics or whatever?
I mean, they're not really like involved in the music industry where I work or anything like
sure.
that, but they're definitely very flexible to the extent that, you know, if I need to not work on a certain day, do a show or something like that,
right.
That it does work well with my schedule in the way that I can do both, you know?
I guess what I was asking
is corporado, dude.
Corporado. Oh, okay.
You can't just bust out the open mic when the man is breathing down your shoulder.
Sure. No, I was
He's
saying,
like, put that guitar away over there. What are you singing about? Peace? Peace don't make no
maybe
money.
I'm just,
I hope you're singing about money this time.
I'll sing a song about cash. How about cream? You like Wu-Tang?
I guess I never really thought of it, though, this way, though, is that if you're working somewhere that, say, does have an established open mic as not a performer, but you're working behind the bar, how open are your bosses to, you know, say, you know, when there is an open mic, get from behind the bar and say, and now our bartender Siobhan will sing a song kind of thing.
Well, I mean, what's funny is
if Bubba Gums in Times Square ever let me stand on top of the bar and perform,
that'd be great.
I would wear, you don't even want to know.
Well,
let's explore.
6-inch stilettos.
Yes. Let's explore this. What would a performance at Bubba Gums for Siobhan be like?
Right. I can tell you that I've been at mics though where the waitresses have at Branded Saloon, the waitress performed one night.
Oh, okay.
She was really good. But I always see the manager looking out of the corner of his eye like, get back to work. Like, you singing, sing on your own time. I ain't paying you to chase your dreams. I'm paying you to chase the rats back in the holes in the corner.
Jimmy ordered a mozzarella sticks and totally left it in the window.
He only doesn't like his food cold.
You're from Boston, you said.
Yeah, I am.
And when
Go
you,
Red Sox.
And when you were living in Boston, you went to musical theater auditions.
Yeah, I mean, I came to New York while I was in Boston and was in musicals and stuff when I was in high school, and I did musical theater in college. That was actually my degree, musical theater, but all the while kind of like writing songs and stuff. So,
You definitely don't seem like you jibe with musical theater kids.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. Musical theater kids are actually kind of awesome.
I mean, I went to school with them.
Hell yeah.
But similarly, the same way, I get along with everybody.
Yeah.
They like me, but I don't hang out with them because I don't find myself singing A Whole New World down a hallway at midnight.
The
you know, I don't find myself trying to find the voice. It's a different life. It's a different mentality.
Yeah.
I guess one of your parents had maybe enabled you to record yourself on tape. Tell us a little bit about that experience when you were younger and how your parents enabled you as a singer when you were but a babe.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember those like boom boxes and you could just like press a record button and it would record right from the boom box?
Of course.
Gosh, this is crazy. They don't do that anymore.
Nope.
I remember like being, you know, still young, like middle school, finding a recording of me like as a young child singing Britney Spears on the boombox.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, if you find that, you're going to come back on the show and you're gonna play that and then you're going to sing it in the studio.
Oh my God. I'll do it for Britney.
That would be great. That would be
but
really
yeah,
hilarious.
No, I remember listening to it and being like, a little pitchy, but you're close. You get there.
Hey, not bad.
How old were you?
Not bad for like a 6-year-old.
6 years old.
I was going to auditions when I was really young. My mom wanted me to be a child star in the worst way.
Oh, okay. Gosh. You know what's really weird? That I just remembered, I don't know if you guys ever have flashbacks with stuff that you like tried to repress like that, but I definitely just remembered, because I used to sing a lot as a kid. When I was really little, I used to sing a lot, just out. My mother used to tell me that I'd be singing. When I was like 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to sing Disney songs now that I remember. It's like I used to sing The Lion King.
Yes,
so
I was
going to
say, I feel like you've mentioned this on
I
the
did
show,
mention this? Okay,
that you definitely.
I've re-repressed it again. Again, I used to sing
The
Lion Sleeps Tonight. That was my jam.
It was on the soundtrack.
It was on the soundtrack. It wasn't actually in the film.
Right.
It was just like, it played on TV a lot, and Elton John was just like, oh! There was like, you know, him pushing up Simba, and he was just got his glasses on the white piano, and you know, feeling it.
When I was really young, I would just break out into song easily. I honestly would just go into a song without any provocation. It would be like maybe something even like that Little Richard Itsy Bitsy Spider version where it was just like, the itsy bitsy spider went up to watch the spider. Down came the rain. Came the sun down the rain. And that's what I would do. And like it would be very much the way that an AD kid would be.
Yeah, I definitely sang that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it goes.
That meatball
spontaneity.
Song. I never remember singing that meatball.
Spontaneity.
Meatballs all covered in cheese. I remember like singing.
Oh,
singing that. What other meatball song were you thinking of?
I thought you were going to talk about meatloaf. I guess I was.
Oh no, I used to sing "Bad Outta Hell" and stuff like
I'd
that.
I'd be a badass little kid if I was singing meatloaf too, man.
And then what was the one that? Oh yeah,
I was like, you may be a musical genius.
You know what meatloaf song I used to sing? I used to sing that one. And I would do anything for love. But I won't do that.
Never answered what that was.
Yes, he did.
Did he?
Yes, he won't sleep around.
Really?
Don't you remember that part
lame.
Of the song?
That reminds me recently with International Women's Day. You know, he wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to let her take the power in the bedroom.
In that section of the song, she said, sooner, when it all falls down,
right
sooner
now.
Or later you'll be sleeping around. I won't do that.
Oh, okay.
You gotta catch it. And then the song ends.
Wait, so you're just deducting this from what you think the lyrics are alluding to? Or did he really say it?
The female vocalist is saying all these things. And then he's like, I could do that. I could do that. I could do that. And then she's like, sooner or later you'll be sleeping around. No, I won't do that. I would do anything for love. But I will not cheat on you.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would she be asking him to cheat on her?
I can't speak on it.
Dude, I remember that's a famous song that no one knows what it means. It's famous to nobody.
I always thought he wouldn't do that. It's famous with something that it's not sexual revealed. Or personal.
It's well known that it's not known.
All right. Let's bring it back to you, Siobhan. Are there songs that you've written that are ambiguous and you mean them to be ambiguous, or they've gotten more ambiguous over time?
Oh my God, mine are always so uncomfortably sexual and very out there. I think I try to make my songs ambiguous, but I'm really just kind of an open book, to be honest.
How's that the case? Are you inspired by any artists that have brought you to be in that same kind of poetic license?
Yeah, there's a lot, definitely. I think like being unapologetic with your lyrics and saying what you mean are kind of a big thing to me. I don't know if any of you guys know Rilo Kiley at all.
Familiar.
Oh, so great. But my influences are a lot of storytellers and stuff too, you know, Billy Joel, stuff like that, mm-hmm. Bob Dylan. So I like to tell a story and just like say the words that you're really thinking in your head and put them out instead of trying to, you know, go through the backwards ways to explain things. I would say I'm not that poetic sometimes.
What did your parents listen to?
Oh, man. My dad loved Public Enemy. So I love Chuck D.
that's hilarious.
No, I love Public Enemy. And my mom was, like I said, she was big Billy Joel. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to Barry White, thinking about my mom. She loved Barry White, that kind of stuff. All
it's
over
a good music
place.
Upbringing.
Yeah, she was good. She knew what she was
Barry
doing.
Barry White and Public Enemy. Now yeah. That makes a lot more sense for your personality.
Fight the power.
I was going to say, like, you can't tell, baby. But she, you know, Siobhan brought a fitted cap to the. All three of us are wearing fitted caps right now at the spot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or actually, no, I got a snapback. I got a snapback.
I got a snapback, too.
So all three of us are wearing
snapbacks.
We are all wearing snapbacks.
Well, I can't see the back of your head. That's why. Snapback is it. Well, that's the new thing.
Wait, what's the snapback that you wear?
It's a Boston snapback.
Of course
it
is.
But it's groan like, of discontent.
But what?
I'm wearing a San Jose Sharks one.
Is that snake on it though?
It looks skin. Like snake skin. Or like
yeah, because she's a snake in the grass.
Oh man! Snow. She's coming up to sneak up on you, Yankees this year. Better watch out.
The Boston's not going to sneak up on us. They're like the top seed in the East, man.
You're right.
Anyway,
just wanted you to say
they got
that.
Chris
sports ball.
Yeah.
We're distracted here, Jimmy.
We are. No, it's okay. If there's ever a sports conversation on Lost and Around, chances are it's
Jimmy.
Feels
left out.
My bad.
The above is true. Okay, so I'm really intrigued about the fact that you grew up on Public Enemy, Barry White, and Billy Joel. I grew up on Billy Joel a little bit too. What was your first show that you ever attended?
This is embarrassing. The first concert that I ever saw ever was the Backstreet Boys. My mom really just wanted to go to that concert. I think she thought they were cute or something. She
Backstreet
was like,
Boys?
Let's go.
Oh, you weren't even.
Because
that
sounds great. I was in the second grade.
Because I was thinking.
I fell asleep.
That's what I was
through.
Saying.
Oh
yeah.
No, really?
Because I was just thinking that Backstreet
Kevin,
Boys.
What have you done?
Because Backstreet Boys were really hot when I was that age.
Yeah.
But then Siobhan's. You're what? 4 years younger than I am.
Yes.
Four,
oh my
four,
God.
Yes, four or five 24. Years younger than I am. So I was thinking. I was thinking. I was like, they had just come out, and we were like. 12. So I was like, you can't then that in that into them.
Yeah, they were
even,
like on the Millennium album.
I was like, you didn't
point.
Like boys at that point. You were still in that age of like, you know, that transition, you know, oh boy, like this is that, you know, awkward, who am I going to be phase.
When you went to this show, it was a very large arena show.
Huge.
When was the first time you went to a smaller show? Was it one that you played or was it one that you were seeing the act?
I mean, I've performed a lot of smaller shows.
Sure,
as
sure,
well.
Sure.
As a singer-songwriter, you do a lot. I remember doing one on a lawn, like in my town, in front of just like, it was, I think it was at the library or something like that. But they did Writer's Day or something like that for the library. Makes sense, I guess. And yeah, I remember performing like on the lawn, and I've been to some like small festivals, stuff like that. Folk Festival in New Hampshire, they do one.
What's the name of, what was the name of that one?
Oh, God. I think it's just called, like, the New Hampshire Folk Festival.
Cool.
They're very creative. Right?
Yeah, it's New Hampshire.
But you traveled all the way over there to see some artists and get more of the stripped-down feel that would eventually influence your music.
Yeah, absolutely. And New Hampshire's not too far, so it's nice because you can kind of go not too far away and have a completely different music scene, completely different atmosphere around you as well.
How old were you when you went to that?
I guess a young teenager, like 13, something like that.
And were you listening to Backstreet Boys still by that point?
Oh, no.
What was 13-year-old Siobhan listening to when she went to this folk festival?
I was kind of at a crossroads between like angsty sort of folk and alternative music and hip-hop. Really loving hip-hop a lot.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course. No, I up until college, up until after college, I was obsessed with rap.
Yeah.
For maybe about, I'd say about 7 years, I was knee deep in underground hip hop completely.
I still feel like, honestly, as much as probably 50% of the music I listen to now is hip hop.
Yeah.
I got into it really late, as people do. I got into it when I was 18.
Yeah.
In college. And I got introduced to it by a guy that looks like Justin Bieber.
It's
that was like in the turn. That was in the turntable. It's like, yeah, I like turntable.
It's pretty remarkable that your dad was impressing upon you Public Enemy at such a young age. You must have had a very keen ear to socio-political relevance in music.
I mean, yeah, definitely Fight the Power, all that kind of stuff. Don't Believe the Hype. It was really big on learning about the world around you, especially, I mean, as a young white woman, you to be able to be raised and see the contrast of, you know, what a black man may go through or what somebody oppressed by society may go through. It's really eye-opening to see that it needs to be spoken about. It needs to be discussed and tackled head on. So it was interesting and definitely influenced my political views and social views for sure.
Obviously, you have your guitar with you today, so yeah. You are going to play some music for us. We were going to spend a little bit of the second half of the show dissecting some of your older music, but would you be so kind as to talk a little bit about the song that you were planning to play for us?
Sure. Burn is kind of about, unfortunately, having to watch some people go down the, I wouldn't say the wrong path, but maybe go somewhere that you never thought they would go, or be affected by life the way that you wouldn't want to see them be affected by life, and watching someone kind of sabotage themselves.
Do you believe that you have managed to avoid sabotaging yourself?
I think we all sabotage ourselves a little bit in some ways.
I think you're doing all right.
As
things go, you're doing all right.
You're coming from an outside looking in kind of, or inside looking out.
In the song, it's from, it's looking from the outside on somebody else doing this. But of course, it's always, even when you're looking at somebody else doing something, you're always kind of introspective saying, you know, I could easily be this, or I've done things like this in my life where I've kind of sabotaged myself as well.
The idea of someone writing a song, like there have been times I've been like, I'm going to write a song. And I'll sit there and I'll be like, beep, boop, ba-dip, dee-dip. What's happening? What, my brain?
You're just off like, to a good start.
I don't even know what's happening. I don't know how you guys do it. It's very impressive to me.
Let's take a listen to Siobhan Fogarty here on Lost and Rewound, Radio Free Brooklyn. Burn.
Exclusive.
And I had spent ages wondering how you feel. So I took the ink to the trees and flew like a breeze on over you and onto my dreams. But you couldn't take it, and now your heart's breaking a year after hurting me. And you sabotage yourself in my name, oh God help you. I don't want to watch you fall apart. No, you just gotta watch it burn. Take the ashes to the urn. See everything you've earned turn into dirt. And I guess it's all my fault. Take blame for it all. You love me after all. Oh, yeah. Goes on that I'm certain. Pull back the curtain and hear the crowd roar for me. But I thought you'd be happy with me off your backseat. But you don't want to watch me succeed. No, you want to watch me burn. Take the ashes to the urn. See everything I've earned turn into dirt. And I guess it's all my fault. Won't blame yourself at all. You wanna see me fall? Oh, you just gotta watch it burn. Take the ashes to the urn. See everything you earn turn into dirt. And I guess it's all my fault. Take blame for it all. You love me after all. Oh.
Awesome. I'm digging it.
Thanks, dude.
It's got pep.
Thanks.
Muy bueno. Muy bueno.
Está bien. Good.
I was going to say, yeah, that's a new one, definitely. And, like, yeah. you got it. Thanks, got dude. It. Don't worry about it. Got it.
So, I actually just recorded it as well.
That's great. Where do you normally record? Or do you have a place that you record?
I've been working with my friend Mike Lambert. Shout out. He's awesome. He has a setup kind of like what we're doing here in a basement with all the good stuff, recording equipment. So we've been rocking it out, recording a lot. We have another one that'll be coming out soon. And yeah, we just recorded this one.
I don't have a lick of musical ability, really. I am intrigued as to what drives you. Like, the melodies come first or the lyrics come first. And how does it all piece together in your writing style?
Honestly, I'd say it's usually kind of the melody first, but words will kind of come with it. It'll usually be like a phrase or a melody that I'll kind of hear and I'll build around. I write poetry a lot, so sometimes I'll have words that'll come to my head and I'll write them down and I'll make an effort to try to make it into a song. But usually I'll kind of hear a melody in my head and put words to it and then build around it.
You're very melodically driven.
Yeah, definitely.
I can tell that. And from the musical theater background, that certainly makes its case.
Yeah.
You have always been that way, or do you feel like as you've become more embedded in the world of singing and songwriting that you have strengthened your process more? And when you first started, were you doing more writing more than the melody making?
Honestly, like, I remember the first song I wrote when I was a kid. It was on piano. And so when I was a kid, you know, I only knew a handful of stuff on the piano. So it was more melodically driven. And then I'd kind of put really very simple words to them. So I think that's where my basis was with the music. And then as I started writing more and doing poetry and stuff, it kind of branched out where I can kind of start either direction depending on where I'm inspired writing-wise or musically.
I think that when it comes to songwriting, especially, probably, it takes something emotional to make the process even begin.
Yeah.
If you look at throughout history and you look at all the times that we've had less than great presidents, it's been the times when we've had the best music.
So true.
And it's this thing that you don't know what's good until you don't know what's going to feel great until you feel that pain and you have something to relate to.
They say that the environment that you live in and our like socio-political status as a country often is reflective in the music. It'll show certain anger or angst or anxiety based on the world we live in. So I always thought that was really interesting to study music like that because, hey, if I never had a bad day, I don't think I'd have a single song. I'd have one.
You know, I thought about all of the very sad comedians, which is all of them. But then you think about, like, all these terrible stories, people like Robin Williams and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And
tragic.
I sort of felt like they didn't necessarily have that outlet because they always have to be on. They always have to be funny. And actually, recently, I personally started writing some poetry, and I actually performed it recently as well.
How'd that go?
It went really well, and it was people were really, really receptive, and it came from like a play. It was the thing is I had a time in my own life that was really difficult, and I was feeling a lot of pain, and there was no joke that was going to help with that. There was no way to just, because being funny and doing that, just kind of laughing it off, doesn't help you really cope.
Yeah, you're not really facing it.
You know, so that was exactly it. So I was like, I want to look at this straight on, and I want to do it, and so I've actually, it's been twice now I've performed it. It's been really good. And I actually did perform a song as well,
really?
Acapella. My humorous side came out in the song at the same time because it was such a silly song choice. But then the words of the song, I was like, this song has really, really profound words. It's hilarious if you read into it. And people were losing their shit. It was so funny. I did an acapella version of Hey Ya. And I did it I don't know anything about music, but like half the speed. So it took me like seven minutes to do it.
Wow.
And people were in the crowd just like,
3000 is somewhere shaking his head right
all
now.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right.
That speed. And I had the lyrics and I did every all right and every hey yeah and stuff. And
the slowest way to shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Exactly. And I had this guy in the audience because I had no idea how people were going to react to it. And I had this guy in the audience come and go, and I couldn't believe this. He goes, I've been having a really bad month.
He goes,
thank you so much. He goes, I could barely contain myself while that was happening. He goes, you know when you were scrolling through your phone because like the screen kept going off and you didn't know the lyrics? He goes, that was the best part.
Because it's the easiest lyrics. Because
the lyrics
song
are so
ever.
Easy. And I was like, I really want to hold on to the integrity of this song. I need to do, there's like 11 to 13 all rights. So I was like, I need to get the correct amount of all rights.
You're ambitious, Jimmy.
What's funny to me is that's a very high song.
Jim, ambitious.
I know you to be a man with a very deep voice. Did you do
I did it
down the octave?
I tried
in the very low.
I Tom Waits did it.
Oh my
Tom
God.
Waits to, yeah.
Oh my God.
I was like, you think you've got like that? Like that.
Are there any recordings of this that we could bring to the show? This sounds perfect.
This is perfect. What
people were really receptive to it and like really excited about it. Yeah, it was funny. And afterwards, people were like, how come you didn't tell us? Like all other musicians were like, we would have backed you up. Like we would have done accompaniment.
My exciting new project.
Let's take a quick break for some lovely music that is not by Siobhan. But when we get back, we will get to hear more very early Siobhan Fogarty here on Lost and Rewound.
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Joining us for this hour of Lost and Rewound is Siobhan Fogarty, brought to you by Jimmy Hoffman, because that's what the open mic scene's like, very strong and it's intimate. And
brought to you by Jimmy Hoffman and by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
No, dude, no advertising. We spoke about this.
They haven't paid us.
They're delicious and nutritious and scrum-de-licious.
I never got down with Reese's Pieces, man. I was all about the M&Ms.
Oh, I love Reese's Pieces, dude.
Reese's Pieces were not as favored as the peanut butter cups.
I like peanut butter and chocolate, though. I think it works.
Oh, it's the best.
I think it works.
My boyfriend is allergic to peanuts, though, so unless I want to murder him tomorrow.
If you, have it on your breath or, in your mouth.
He says that, but he might be being a little.
Because that's
it. Just sounds way too sensitive.
People with peanut allergies bug out. I know that.
Yeah.
I've seen them bug out. Anyway.
I get it. I wouldn't want to die. Death by Reese's.
Siobhan has been kind enough to bring some very old audio.
She brought it back from the old country.
She brought it back.
All the way from up north.
You're 24. Mm-hmm. You're younger than probably anybody else who's been on this show, but yet.
Oh, wow. Cool.
But yet.
I think that's true, actually.
But yet, the audio still is in lockstep with the kind of audio we've received in the past, because a lot of that audio has been stuff from high school, college, middle school, reflecting a different time in your life.
Absolutely.
Before we get to that, when did you decide, I'm going to take all of what I am making behind closed doors and share it with people?
Man, I when I first started writing music, I was really self-conscious about it, or maybe just really private about it, and I wouldn't play it for anybody.
At all?
Not at all. I would hide it from people. Like I said, I think I wrote my first one when I was like 10. It was not great.
But you played piano as well.
Exactly, yeah. So on piano, writing like little ditties, and then I think, honestly, I didn't really start playing it for other people till like late high school, early college.
Yeah.
I always just did other people's music. You know, I was in some singing groups where we would do covers. I did musical theater, but I would keep my own stuff pretty private for a while. Yeah.
You guys do Boys to Men?
singing group. No, but
that was my when my generation, those singing groups. Yeah, they were just it was just boys to men. That's all I remember those guys ever singing ever here out of these groups.
In retrospect, a 10-year-old girl singing Motown. I don't know.
And then we also at graduations had to sing boys to men.
Yeah,
you being somebody who was very comfortable being on stage, being in front of other people, you still weren't that comfortable to share your own created work.
Yeah, it was really personal to me, and I guess you always worry that people aren't going to like it, or because it comes back on you, you know? If people don't like you singing somebody else's music, it's, all right, they wrote it, you don't like the song, you can kind of, I guess, sneak away from that. But when it's your own music, it's representative of yourself, so I guess on a deeper level, you feel like if they don't like your music, they don't like you, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That, you know what, that's so true. More so even, I think, than comedy.
Yeah.
Because you can just comedy, like, oh, that just wasn't funny, or I was just off, you know? But in music, yeah, it's a little bit of a deeper thing in that way. This is more of my soul I'm bearing for people.
Yeah.
You don't like it? If you know in your own mind that you need, you know, more polish or whatever, that you need more work and you're not that great, that's a different story.
Yes. Yeah,
but if you think you're talented and people aren't feeling it, yeah.
Singing can be very vulnerable, too, you know? You're like, that sound coming from inside of you, quite literally, that you're just blurting out to a bunch of people and hoping that it sounds good. So, yeah.
Story of my life.
Mr.
Blurt over here. Blurting and hoping it lands.
There you go.
So explain what Light It, Smoke It, Pass It is all about.
Query. All right.
So, inquiring minds want to know.
So let's get down to the business
now. Let's be real.
Let's go to the lab.
We could talk about this. It's fine. It's Radio Free Brooklyn.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was younger. I think I was almost done with high school, I guess, at this point. And I always loved hip-hop. And I had a friend who goes to Berkeley. He's actually doing really big things right now. His name's Philly G. He's with a band called Viva La Hop. They're really great hip-hop band. Good stuff. But he was always so talented. And he went to Berkeley and all that good jazz. And I always wanted to work with him. I was like, and he was always just kind of my friend. And one day we all went over there and he had this awesome studio in his house. And we got to lighting it, smoking it, passing it. We got to drinking a little bit. And I was like, let's make a song, you know? And this song was literally made in one night. I can't believe how it came out for made in one night. Drunk and stoned.
Let us catalog our adventures.
Probably because we're just singing about smoking weed, and he's definitely the brainchild behind all of this. But
you were singing on the hook, yeah.
But I'm singing on the hook, yeah. I'm ad-libbing throughout it, and we just kind of went for it, improvised it. It was a lot of fun.
This was first time you ever did, and the last time, or just the first general time you'd ever done on a rap track?
That was my first hip-hop track. Yeah, I've done
not the last. She's done some since then. Yeah.
I've done quite a bit since then.
So this is where it all began.
Right, exactly. I kind of tended
someone's bedroom.
Yeah, it was someone's basement.
That's where hip hop always begins. Yeah. In the basement, son.
Yes,
yeah. In the basement.
Yeah, it seems like that's where a lot of the music is starting.
Basement jacks.
Light It, Smoke It, Pass It by Philly G featuring Siobhan Fogarty.
Exclusive.
She turn around, I say, you like to burn it down. You can go back to the crib, I got that sticky icky icky. And I think that you the bomb, and I'd love if you burn it with me. She said, word, that'll be cool, I can meet you by the school. I was thinking about that ass, I couldn't wait to make my move. So let's go, I met her at the park and went back to the crib. Sat around the table, I started rolling the blizz. I told her I've been waiting for a girl like you. So relax, baby, tell me what you want me to do. She said, check, check, check. I feel a wavy in my
my girl is too. We've been chilling for an hour, now she calling me boo. We've been puffing on the sour, sipping that brown water. It's hazy in the cloud, and we drowning the marijuana. Incense burning, I'm playing reggae music. She whining to the rhythm, the shorty was used to it. We was vibing to the baseline.
Grab up on the waistline,
I gave a kiss up on the neck. Didn't want to waste time. Shorty started popping it. Took my hands, put them on her back. I can rock with it. That ass perfect. I knew that it was worth it when she told me that she only want vanilla with the chocolate. Rub it down, heat it up. Henny down, weed it up. Pour a play, get a little top, then I beat it up. At the end, I know what she wanna do. Take a break and get ready for round two. Right now, we gotta.
I like this production. Who produces it? Is it Philly G as well, or who?
I think it's the guy in Philly G's band, I believe, in Viva La Hop.
So this is all live instrumentation. Man. That's not actual. That's not on the production tip.
No. I think that he produced it, mastered it himself. Yeah. I have to double check. I know that one of his friends produced it for sure, and we just kind of hopped on it one night partying.
Lost Denver. Wow. So I was just on
that
track.
Cool. That was cool. That was really cool, and
that was really great.
That was a bucket list, pretty much, for you being able to sing, do some neo soul kind of shit on a rap track. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And it was just, I mean, that song was just fun to make. You can even hear my friend in the background on the chorus. She's like yelling at one of my friends. She's like, "Yeah, Frasier." We decided to keep it in. We thought it was funny.
Did you have a nickname in the circles that you rolled in?
I mean, my name is spelt like crazy, so people have tried to
Shubba.
Yeah, people have called me all sorts of
Shubba folks.
I've had shove on ranks.
Well, again,
sure.
I just love yes. I just love when people just like Siobhan. Yep. Is there a Siobhan here?
My hometown, it was Sayo. Everybody called me Sayo.
That's ill. I like that. No, that's really cool.
Everybody loved it too.
You know what Sayo sounds like? It sounds like your name if you were in the movie Hackers.
Okay.
Siobhan is an Irish name, but it can go either ways. I've met Jewish women with the name Siobhan.
Yeah, sometimes they spell it differently.
Yeah, actually, one of my really good friends on the West Coast, shout out to Siobhan, it's S-I-V-A-N.
Yeah, Siobhan. Yeah, I've met a lot of people with like different variations of the name, like more of like a French one, like Siobhan, or stuff like that. Seriously.
Yeah, no, I've seen that one with like the C-H-A-V.
Or like C-H-E-V-O-N-N-E, or S-H-A-V-O-N. Yeah. I usually just spell it like that, honestly. When it's things where people have to call out my name in public, I'm like, let me go ahead.
Oh, phonetically spell it, yeah.
Yeah, how would you spell it?
Phonetically, I spell it S-H-A-V-O-N.
S-H.
Siobhan.
Yeah.
Siobhan.
Yeah.
I always have to tell people, because there's no way to say like, oh, I'm just going to spell my name E-L-A-W-N so that people know how to like pronounce my name, or like U-H-L-A-O-N or something. Alone. Like there's so many different ways
first
to pronounce.
Like Elon. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to spell and pronounce Elon because it's Hebrew phonetics.
The last time I heard that name referenced, there was a character in a TV show trying to make a joke about, you know, how he was going to marry a very Jewish woman and have an ultra Jewish baby.
Yeah.
He was going to name Baby Elon. and send him to Brandeis.
Send him to Brandeis.
Yeah. I was like, and then I was just like, okay, that makes sense. And then it was great because in the subtitle, I put subtitles on because I was paying attention. N. Spelled totally wrong. E-L-O-N?
Nah, you can spell it like that.
Really?
I mean,
there's a university in North Carolina that's spelled exactly like that.
I like yours more.
How do you spell it?
E-L-A-N-N, because my parents are hippies.
you kind of have like the German spelling of it in my mind.
Really?
Like the other day, I say my name to someone. Go, my name is Jimmy Hoffman. It's really easy to spell. And the guy goes, okay, cool. Jimmy. J-I-M-M-I-E-H-O-F-M-A-N-N. I was like,
You're doing great.
Yeah, I was like, did you try to mess that up on purpose? Because you got it completely wrong. It's like, how is this the easiest thing in the world?
Jimi Hendrix spelling.
Your last name, exactly. Siobhan, J-I-M-I. Actually is one of sort of music royalty. Fogerty, John Fogerty, is a well-known singer.
Yeah, CCR, what a band.
Were you into that?
I love classic rock and stuff like that. CCR especially, really great.
Tell us about what this song that you have that is from your past. What kind of style would you put it into?
Not
classic rock, I assume.
Put it in a box.
It's kind of bluesy, honestly.
It is, so a little bit CCR in some respects.
Yeah, I guess you could say
okay.
That. It's kind of
so
bluesy.
So you're going to be Shajan Fogerty?
He spells his last name with an E. Mine is with an A, so it's a little different.
Okay.
But people are always like, are you related to John Fogerty? I'm like, yeah, dude.
Totally. Hell yes.
He's my third cousin.
The same way people are like, are you Jimmy Hoffa? I'm like, I rose from the grave. I'm a zombie.
It doesn't get any better than Paula Danziger. Are you related to Paula Danziger, the famous author? I never read one of her books, but evidently she lived in Woodstock for a bit of time, and now she's dead, so I'm not related to her at all.
I met Alice Good Hoffman, to and I told her that my name was Hoffman, and she was totally disinterested, and I felt
so, all right. what is this song, then?
Oh, I'm so embarrassed to play this song.
That's what we're
that's
here for.
I'm here for the paycheck.
This song is like so like this is like young sexual frustration or something.
As opposed to old sexual frustration.
Yeah, it's really no different. I think I'm just a little more subtle with it at this point.
In lieu of you not having audio of this, you can play this because you actually have it written in your journal. This song from what year? From what year in your life?
Oh my god!
This is 1948.
This has to be high school. This has to be high school.
So it's the beginning of the Korean War.
I don't even have it yet. Wrote this during
Keep
Nan.
Trying. Keep going.
This has to be maybe my senior year of high school.
And you were still kind of, you weren't quite angsty anymore, but you were definitely getting.
I think I was still angsty, but this is like right when I'm.
Every
18
year old.
I think
like,
you stopped being angsty a year ago.
Yeah, I think I'm still angsty. But
no, I think you dropped it. But like when I met you, you were.
Oh, yeah. I was so emo at that
you
point.
You were. Not anymore, but you grew
Anyways,
out of it. You grew out of it.
This song, yeah, late high school. This is like when I was still not really playing my music out or for people. God, it's awful. This is one of my untitled songs. I don't even think it has a title.
Okay.
Oh, God, it's so gross. Okay. Yeah, and I am reading it from my journal, which I've had for years and years and years. This is one of the like first songs I ever wrote is in this journal. So, oh man, I don't want to do it. Here you go.
Jump down the cliff.
Oh, this is awful. I'm all played again, feeling the heat. I want to feel that fire. Please set me free. Oh, please. You can tie me up and pin me down and drive me crazy if you come around. If you come around. Now I hope it don't sound like a game, but you're the pawn I wanna play with. You seem like the perfect size. Two doors down, won't you capsize me? I think I've been patient long enough. I wanna be bad. I think I've been waiting long enough. So let's get down to the good stuff. Yeah, I said it. You won't regret it. Yeah. Oh. Don't be station, I ain't too far away. My body's aching, hoping for you to make my day. But if you want it, come and get it, but keep it a secret from this part of town. Cause I could teach you something new, build you up if you want me to. I've readied the ship, so come on in, let me in, flow with the current, yeah.
Do it.
I think I've been waiting long enough. I wanna be bad. I think I've been waiting long enough. So let's get down to the good stuff. Yeah, I said it. You won't regret it. Oh no. Oh, oh no.
So good. Good. Yes.
The good stuff.
So mortifying.
This is stuff. The art of being mortified, though. It comes at the price of being able to look back at yourself with more objective ears. You're playing it, so it's a little, maybe a little different playing it than when you hear the show.
Right.
And you'll be hearing you do it. But when you're playing it, there must be such a sort of a release and some sort of just like the butterflies, not the butterflies, but just like the fact that you feel like a lemming falling down the cliff.
Right. And it's just embarrassing because like the words are so ridiculous. But at some point, you have to just like, you got to be unapologetic with it. I wrote this at one point in my life.
Yeah,
that is me in some way, shape, or form.
There are songs that I wrote with melodies that I preconceived in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And forever, and to this day, I still, because of my lack of musical ability, Siobhan, I basically wrote all these lyrics without any actual hardline music that I had written to it. So they're just these lyrics, and they're embarrassing, and they represent a time in my life that remains encapsulated. The fact that you wrote that at any one point, and you were able to make a beautiful melody, that's the lasting impression I get, is that regardless of the lyrics, you created this incredible melody for somebody who's writing in high school. I mean, for real.
I appreciate it.
I big up my guests.
When I listen to it, I'm like, oh, man.
I big up my guests.
What a simple blues progression of, like, you know,
that's
the
what you
learn. Chords. But, yeah, of course, you always are going to judge yourself and want yourself to be better. And
every time you
learn more chords.
Yeah, no, and then blues progressions are pretty much the standard bearer for learning how to play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So you took an inch and you made a mile out of that.
Wow, I really appreciate that because I listen to this song and I'm like, oh my God, stop.
This guy right here.
Look.
Like, how many times a day did you masturbate?
He's fluffing your, your pillow.
I'm fluffing your pillow because the fact is that you've already made your bed and your bed is beautiful, baby.
Thanks.
But hey, if there's a pillow that looks like it's a little old, at least you got a whole other bed.
Good thing you made it to pillow talk.
I threw out a pillow last night. You know, this is how these things work.
Oh my God, what did it do to you?
I was going
to
say, what did I have, pink eye on it or something? What
happened? No, it's fucking all bunched up and shit. It needed to go.
Ew.
I miss him.
I miss him. How could you do that to that poor pillow?
That pillow
was a staple in your life.
It was an executive decision. My wife made it very much the case that thing had
to
go.
So if it was an executive decision, it was made between you, your wife, Kurt Russell, and Steven Seagal, and John Leguizamo. Bam, great movie. Yeah,
did they throw away a pillow?
No. There's decisions.
There's more to that. More movie.
You just need to go and watch it.
We got to head out of here in a little bit. Siobhan, thank you so much for being here on this hour of Lost and Rewound. You have an extremely promising amount of potential that you continue to provide just through what you came from and what you're continuing to do now.
Wow.
I would say
thank you so much.
As
really...
being the youngest guest on the show, you have the biggest chance to change while we're still doing the show.
Yeah, next thing you know, I'll look back on that song and be like, oh, my God.
Well, we bring on guests that are 45, you know, and they come on when they're 50. It's me,
hey.
Similar guy.
Yeah.
But when you come back on
when I'm
in
50.
A year, 5 years, we have another new Siobhan. I'm telling you, wide open.
Still will have a Boston hat on, though.
thanks for playing along. playing here in the studio. If those who are listening are in Brooklyn and want to check out one of your open mics, where could they next see you?
Actually, I typically go to the one that Jimmy hosts Sunday nights at Jeet Jet.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an awesome mic.
It is
great
indeed.
Food and drinks as well. If you guys just don't want to perform, come just watch and hang out. Branded Saloon, Wednesday nights, also in Brooklyn. That one's what, 8:30 or 9?
8 o'clock, I want to say. 8 o'clock on Wednesdays, Branded Saloon.
8 o'clock.
Sometimes Topaz.
Topaz, Tuesday nights, Brooklyn.
Tuesdays at 8.
That one's good, too. I'm typically at Branded Saloon and G-Chat, yeah.
And you're on SoundCloud?
Yep, soundcloud.com/Siobhan-Fogarty-1. You can find Burn on there. It's available for download. I also have a YouTube page. You can just look up Siobhan Fogarty, and I should be the first one coming up.
Siobhan Fogarty on Lost and Rewound here on Radio Free Brooklyn. Thanks so much for being here,
my dear.
Thank
you.
Thank you for coming out.
And thank you to our listener or listeners, whoever you may be out there.
If you're huddling around the radio, staring at the radio like the olden days.
Yeah. We wish you a lovely rest of your afternoon and week, and we will see you, hear you. You'll hear us. I suppose that's the best way to put it.
We won't hear you.
We will be in an echo chamber.
You'll be out there making noises, and maybe you'll record them, and maybe we'll have them on the show years from now.
Thanks again for being here this week.
I'm Jimmy.
My name is Alon.
Lost and Rewound, here on
Radio Free Brooklyn.
This happens to me all the time too. I'm like, I forget the words to my own songs.
You're good.
That's a brand new song though.
This is a newer one.
One.
You gotta get reps. Luckily, this is a pre-record, so you have the ability.
Yeah,
we all have the ability to mess up.
Dude, I'm so glad we don't do live. Like the only.
When he told me it wasn't live, I was like, oh, that's great.
There's so many people that do live on this station, and it seems so hard.
They do it here. We make up a small minority of shows.
Yeah, like the majority of the shows, I think it's like 2/3 are live and 1/3 is pre-recorded.
Wow. With music involved and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope. All right, cool. I'm ready.